listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good, Gene
Johnson.
From the AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com, and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies, this is AfterBuzz TV's Mob Wives After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Mob Wives After Show.
Woohoo! Well, Bing is for doing, and we're here doing a really special episode of Mob Wives. I'm your host, Erica Beer, and I am joined by Kevin.
Kevin Undergauer here. So excited.
We are so excited, you guys. Mob Wife fans, we have a huge treat for you. We have the one and only Mob Wife herself, Miss Renee Graziano, on the line.
So exciting.
Renee?
I love that introduction. Thank you.
Oh, of course. Only the best for Miss Renee Graziano.
No, Renee.
Love it, love it, love it, love it.
we were talking off air, and it's so many questions. And first and foremost, congratulations to you and to your sister Jen for making this happen. And any of the knockoffs, just none of them worked, I think, because you guys really are the stars and you guys are authentic and you're legitimate. But I just want to give you credit for what you went through
last
season, and also what you endured last season. To me, we say on this show, it was the greatest true reality we've ever witnessed. I mean, what was going on in your life to be put on TV? Erica, and correct me if I'm wrong, do you know any other television show that has ever been that close to reality with the stakes that high?
No, and that's the thing, Renee, with Mob Wives and everything you went through, the hurricane. We talked about it here on our after show, how this reality show is not like any other reality show on television. I think by far it's probably the best reality show, and it's so, like you said, Kevin, so high and real, and everything is so amazing.
The fact that your house is broken into, what Junior did to you, what your poor father. It's like, oh my God, why wouldn't you drink?
I'm laughing because you know what? I don't know how, and I just outright told you, oh, I'm not really full of drama. But meanwhile, you started that sentence with one thing, and then everything came rushing back, and I'm like, oh my God, I'm never going to get a date. Oh my God. That's all I was thinking. If anybody hears this, they're going to know I'm full of drama. But wait, not to stop you, but let me say this. I'm a very real person, and there was no reason why I would sign up for something that said reality and then not give you reality, because that would be a lie. And I always say that the only thing fake about me is my nose. Like, I'm very serious when it comes to my life. And I think, you know what's funny? People think that last year was the hardest season for me, and I thought last year was actually, like, such a great weight lifted off of my shoulders compared to season two, which to me was the worst thing. I had a hard time even watching season. Like, we have to watch, and then we have to, give our own conclusions of the show for VH1, for the website. And season two was heart-wrenching.
I agree. No, I agree.
It was me, but I couldn't even view it as me if I had to do my job. And I was like, I feel bad for her. I actually felt bad for me outside of me. Like, pity parties aren't really cool because I threw them years ago, but less and less people came. And then you end up by yourself throwing a party, and that's not a party.
Right.
So watching it, I had no... I felt bad for what I went through. I don't feel bad for me because I'm good. But I felt bad if anybody had to go through it. Let me not say me per se, but if anybody had to endure what I did. And I'm so grateful to God, and I'm so grateful. And I'm grateful for season three, and I'm grateful for rehab.
Yeah.
And I think also for, you know, your fame. And as I watch this show, I'm quietly hoping that my opinion, by the way, Renee, I grew up Italian. I have family. We all have family that's involved. Not certainly not to your level, but I worked around that for about 10 years in the North End of Boston. So I'm familiar with what's going on. And I always, you know, for me, coming out to Hollywood, becoming successful in Hollywood, I got away from it. And a lot of it I've purged out of my system. And I'm quietly hoping that now that you have this fame, and we are going to talk about Mob Candy and your line that's coming out, but now that you're, as we say, now that you're legitimate, right? Now that your business is now 100% legit, you know, have you been thinking about making some changes to avoid what happened in the past and to kind of get away from that lifestyle now that you've been able to monetize and pull out and take something good from this?
Most definitely. If I was to meet someone and fall in love, regardless of what that person does, and I know that sounds kind of sad, and I'm not saying I love criminals, I'm just saying that I can love a person regardless of their history or whatever, because that would be kind of, you know, that would be sad for me to say after my history, and that's how I look at it. So I do try to, I don't date the same people I've dated in the past, probably because I just don't date at all lately, but I want better for my son. Me, I look at it, and I'm not being a pessimist, but I look at it like I'm halfway through, but my son isn't. So I want the best, and I try to make better decisions and meet a different quality of person. Not to say there's anything wrong with anybody. I'm just saying, as far as work-related things, I really prefer to go out with somebody that does have a job, that really gets up and goes to work, not just because they pay their taxes on time and they do the right thing, because it speaks more for the person that I'm with. And I'm not knocking anyone in my past. I'm just saying, for me now, the person I'm becoming, I would like my son to get out of bed at 7 a.m. to go to work for 9. I would like to see structure for him, so his family in the future, his grandkids, his children could look at him and not look at him through cell bars and not speak to him only for 15 minutes, you know, you only get 300 minutes a month to talk. I mean, my dad runs through those minutes, and I think in a week, because you miss everybody so much, you try to catch up. I don't want that. My son's 19 years old. I want to show him, first of all, I want to show him, look, your mom can do this, because we've been through so much, and I'm not a weak person, but I had a weak moment, and I don't want him to have that weak moment. You can cry, and you can feel bad, but I don't ever want him to look at himself and view himself weak, whereas at one point I did. I felt almost helpless.
We need to get you guys a nice nerdy accountant, Renee. Well, that's what I keep saying. Can't we get these guys some nerds?
I was actually going to ask this.
Nice
Renee.
Balding accountant with a little belly. He's just going to kiss your ass. He's going to give you everything you want.
But here's the thing. This is what I was thinking when you were saying that. Because, I mean, it just sounds like everything you've been to. I mean, from recovery and everything that happened season two. I mean, it just sounds like you've just grown tremendously as a person. And like you said, you're making actions and choices that have huge effect on, you know, AJ. But are you attracted to that kind of guy? I mean, part of the attraction of, you know, Junior, I'm sure the guys that you dated in the past, is because they were maybe reminding you, like, your family, your father. Would you be attracted to an accountant or a lawyer who just goes to work every day and comes home? I just can't see Renee with that nerdy accountant. I can't see.
He's not going to come down and straighten out the Irish guy.
Well, you probably wouldn't catch me with a lawyer because like we all know, we've heard how shiesty they are. And I said, I don't want to date a criminal. No, I'm only kidding. Lawyers are cool, too. They're people, too.
I'm married to one.
No,
they're not that bad.
Personally, I think I'm attracted. That was really foul. For all the lawyers that have helped us in the past, thank you. Would not date you. I like very, very And Junior is totally excluded out of this statement because I don't view him as strong. I consider him a selfish, weak individual. Yeah. So let's just... I don't have anything really nice to say about him. So we're going to just drop him. Gotcha. Like a bad habit.
I just liked him coming down to the bar when you were having trouble with some wise guy. It's not a real wise guy, but a smart ass. But it's nice when you can pick up the phone and say, okay, enough with this guy. Because remember the guy in season one, that douchebag?
And I remember that, talking about that when he came, and there is something sexy about it. I mean, we don't have to get into the whole
thing.
But there's something sexy about a tough, big guy coming to a girl's rescue.
I get it,
Renee.
Well, I think it's that. I think it's the damsel in distress. I don't think it's a criminal, per se. My dad, I don't view my father as anything more than my dad. I don't care what people have to say. I've never read a transcript in my life. You know, none of that matters to me because of the person that I love. But now, I mean, and then again, you can find a tough guy in a regular guy. A man that stands up for what he believes in, strong, you don't have to be a criminal to be a man. Yeah. A man is a man, regardless of what line of work. And that's what I'm figuring out now. I think I always have gone for that. Oh, it's so horrible to say that girls always have that little like thing with their dad, but I never like to think of it that way. But I think we all like our father because our father's always protected us. My father's rescued me from everything. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So for me, of course I want to die. My mother's got a husband. I see how he is with my sisters. I know my father, how he's with complete strangers, how my father himself is in jail, but will be the first person to go help another family. Hey, we're broke too, Dad. He don't care, you know. And I say broke. We're not completely broke,
right?
But hey, we took a really big hit
with legal fees.
My dad will take the shirt off his back. My father don't care. So yeah, I would love a man that's similar to as it has my dad's strong qualities, but definitely does not want to do the time that I want him to do is the time with me and growing a family, not behind bars.
That's great. I love that, Renee.
So
that's
talking
perfect.
About, you know, Renee,
I'm trying to convince myself to do it. No,
I'm relieved to hear that. Talking about AJ, you know, you bring up AJ and you talk about the example you want to set for him. But I have to say that the most normal, the most balanced, the most, to me, is AJ on this entire show. He is just solid.
He is. Renee, you did an amazing job.
He's mine, and I did that.
Yeah.
And you know what? That's the one thing I pat myself on the back for is that boy, and I have been, when I left his dad at first when AJ was 5, we were on our own from 5 to 11. And we did everything by ourselves. And you know what? I'm crying right now, just for the record. I raised a real...
You
I am
did.
Crying. Mm-hmm. I raised a great young man, and I'm so proud of him.
Yeah, yeah.
You could see that on the camera. You could just see that. But you know, Renee, one of the things I've been wanting to know and watching this and your relationship with AJ, because it's so obvious, it's so strong, and you guys are so united. Did you have any reservations on bringing him in the public eye, because he seems like a reserved person. What was going through your head at that point? And what do you think as a result, the whole experience happened?
Well, when we first did the show, his father, and I will let you ask a few questions about his dad, just for the record, only because I know there's a lot of people that want to know. So I don't totally deter from answering him. I just don't like him. But anyway.
and by the way, why would you like him? My God, why would you like that guy?
You have so much going on, Renee.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Wait, let me answer the good part of the question, and then I'll give you the dirt.
Okay.
Okay, so when we first started, there were people that planted seeds in AJ's head, like, oh, your mother's doing something wrong, it's not good. And he was very, he wasn't, you know, upfront. He didn't want to even be on the camera, obviously, as you see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But as he realized I wasn't doing anything wrong, and he realized, like, I really have a job. Whether people believe that or not, that's a job. Like, when the cameras get to my, I'm always on, and I mean that. You'll get what you can see. I'm consistent for all of these years. I've been the same person. So AJ, you know, got closer with me in a relationship, and then our relationship on TV grew. And he's, this season, I think AJ had it with me. In season one, it was more or less, oh God, Ma, what did you do? In season two, my son witnessed his mother having a nervous breakdown. Mm. Like, I legitimately, like the day that that horrible scream comes, there was ambulance, oxygen. I had a nervous breakdown.
Yeah.
Mm. They hospitalized me like a couple of months later for a while because of everything. I guess I just take a hit after hit. And then AJ and I started to develop a camera relationship. And by season three, the truth is AJ couldn't deal with my addiction. And I think what made him become so comfortable with cameras is because he realized this is real life stuff. It's not just his mother that's going through this. If I'm correct, I think it's like 300 million people in the world suffer from drug addiction. Mm-hmm. Like depression, drug addiction, if I combine the number, I'm pretty sure that's what the statistic is. Please don't quote me. But my son also unveiled himself. And I'm so damn proud of that kid. You have no idea. No. Because he did come a long way. And yes, I was skeptical, and then even more in season two, but I was like, you can see how protective I am. I don't let nobody ever speak about him. I try to control the situation as far as his dad when he's around. Listen, I can say what I want, and a lot of people will say what they want about his father. But if my son is in the room, I ask that everybody respects him. He's still one, a child. Two, he's entitled to love his father regardless.
Of course.
No one's going to tell me not to love his father. But he also was speaking to people in the real world by what he was. The addiction part, he's told the truth. Like,
and I love seeing
when he said,
yeah.
Oh, that was horrible. I hear your own child say that, I have to tell you. And but what I love the most about him and what's the realest about him, he didn't care if it was going to hurt my feelings at that point. He didn't care who was listening, who was watching. He was going to do what he had to do to save his mother's life. Mm-hmm. And it meant exposing more than what he actually needed to know at that particular point. He was going to do it. And his cat, he's such a cool kid.
And you know, it's so funny when I look at Angie's son, AJ, the other AJ, as we call him, I see him as, you know, that's what I would have imagined AJ to be. You know, he came off to me on camera as a little bit insecure, trying to, you know, he had all the gold on. He was trying to be cool. He was trying to be the tough guy. Yeah. And, you know, we know, of course, through the news, and we don't need to get into that because that's her business, but we know in the news that he ended up getting in trouble with addiction and all these other things. But when you flip it and you look at AJ, that's what I would expected your son to be. And when I say it, just on, not only on your show, but just in general, he is just such a, I would want him to land the plane. That's what I always say about someone like that. I'd let AJ land the plane.
Oh my God, that's awesome. I want to say,
oh my God, we were just on a flight together. We actually went to D.C. I have wonderful friends that play professional football that I was blessed to meet through. It was so funny because the one thing AJ wanted when all the fame came about, he's like, Mom, if you ever become famous, I just want to meet we're Dallas Cowboys fans since like I'm a little girl and since he's born. He said, I just want to meet a couple of the Cowboys. And I was blessed to do a Miles Austin charity event last year. So AJ got to meet them. So this year we were up on the way going to D.C. to do a charity event. And he sat next to me and I was like trying to lean him. He's like, Mom, this is the plane. There's no talking. There's no nothing. I'm putting my earphones on. And every time I would look at him, he would pretend he was sleeping. He's that person you definitely want on the plane because they're going to be quiet the whole way.
You know, Renee, I have to say that those scenes between you and AJ, when you're going through your recovery, they were some of the most touching scenes and real scenes I've seen on any reality show. They were so real, and AJ's behavior just was so raw. And you could see for him, it wasn't just about you obviously going through addiction. It was about a family member of someone going through an addiction in that space. And seeing that was so touching.
Can I ask you something about AJ? What's it like for him in school now and being on Staten Island? Because he's almost as famous, I would think, as you guys. How's that been for him?
Well, he's 19, so he's out of school.
Out of school, right.
After his father cooperated with the government, he did that November 21st. I took AJ right out of school. That was it. Right. And people can say, oh, that was the wrong thing to do. I could really kill us, what people have to say when it comes to my kid, because I protect him. I was in Staten Island. His father was probably, like, the toughest guy, one of the toughest guys in the street, physically. Like, nobody would even talk out of line. Judy was just extremely physically strong. So nobody ever bothered us when that happened. I was so afraid that there would be that one kid, because we all know there is that one kid, that would say, your father's a rat, or say something to such a mild-mannered child to make, and I know AJ at that particular point was boiling over. His mother was sick. His father just disgraced his whole entire family. And it was my father, my best friend since I'm 13, her husband, my uncle, a friend of mine, and whatever the other, and the two other guys, not that I have anything bad to say, I just got nothing to say about them. But long story short, I took him out of school because I wasn't going to risk my child for something that his father did. I'm fortunate that nothing has gone wrong, and I think that's because of the child that AJ is. AJ never played tough guy. He never played Anthony Graziano's grandson. He never said, I'm Junior's son.
Thank God.
Never walked around. Never. You know what? I'm so great. When I say I'm grateful to God, first of all, I've always been a very religious person, you know, but now, like within the last several months, and I say a lot about God, is because he literally, like, gave me back my life. He didn't have to. He doesn't have to give anybody anything. And it's, I'm not born again, and I'm not knocking anybody that is. I'm just saying, I think people need to really look at, you know what, like, oh, thank God for this show. I think people like me, whoever their higher powers, they really need to, like, look at it and say thank you for it, because it's just a gift. And I've been truly blessed with, I'm so blessed. My family loves me. No one's mad at me. I didn't know anything.
Well, you have a lot of strength, Renee. I mean, you went through so much, and you have so much strength, and I think that's so apparent when we watch the show. One of the things, too, that I was curious about when watching it was, and talking a little bit about AJ, maybe it is, you know, because of AJ, but what was it that made you kind of finally push yourself and go into rehab and make that huge step? And also do it on camera.
Because I was going to die, and I knew it. I just absolutely positively knew it. I didn't use to get high. I've never done that. I used so I didn't have to feel...
To medicate.
Medicated. You know what? I grew up in the era where cocaine was very big, a lot of pot, a lot of alcohol. I grew up like that. Something from a friggin' movie, to be quite honest. So it's not. I'm never going to sit here and tell you that I never used drugs before, because that would be a lie. But I never took pills. In 2006, which we don't really fully talk about on the show because my family has a hard time with it, I was sexually assaulted. And that is exactly when the pills kicked in. And then I'm also a domestic violence survivor. So between the mental abuse, what I endured, and everything else, the pills became easier for me to take. It was like, okay, so today I feel something reminded me of something that happened to me. It was easier to take a pill and solve it. It was pop a pill, solve a problem. That was my motto. And after his father cooperated, which was the worst thing that I think in my life that happened to me because of the ego that I had growing up. So my solution was, hey, listen, I could sleep till 2015 if I take enough of these. If I take enough of these, then I can never feel. And if I take enough of these, maybe tomorrow I won't be here. And that was really what I started to think that way. It was extremely selfish. And I'm not a selfish person. So I got to the point where I wanted to be done. And that's really messed up because I have such a great kid. I have such a great family. I have friends. I have people that love me to death and then some. So I think for me the step was when you realize that you're just, you want to check out, and I don't mean to get upset, but it's, I feel bad for so many people that are in that position.
And you know,
so I think it was then, it was like that particular second that I realized, okay, this is way worse than even an addiction. This is almost like borderline, I don't want to live anymore. And that is so not me. I love life. I love people, you know, so I made that decision to just, it's all or nothing. It's all or nothing. I can't fold. I can bend, but I refuse to break. And that's what kind of person I actually am. I bend, but I don't break.
And Renee, can you, at this point, are you the type of person that can have a little bit of wine here and there, or do you have to be cold turkey, you feel?
Oh, I'm so glad you brought this up. Wow. Because I didn't even know how to talk. I've never in my life had an alcohol problem. I probably didn't drink until I left my husband. I was like 31 years old, like the first time I left. So can I drink? I'm not too sure. I would like to have a Bloody Mary on a Sunday because I like brunch. They recommend that you don't drink because drinking leads to everything.
Right.
Although drinking never led to anything in my past, I did drugs without alcohol. Mm. So I'm not sure. I probably would have a drink if I really wanted to. Yeah,
because I'm always very concerned with the blanket statement that they put out. Okay, all right. Well, I'm just saying because they put out the blanket statement, and I, even though AA is amazing and I know it's saved so many lives, but at the same time, I find it hard to believe that out of every single person, there aren't people who could say, hey, listen, it's no longer a problem with the pills or whatever, but I do have a glass of wine every now and again. So that's why I asked. And I know part of being in this TV reality world of women, it's like every time you look at any of these wife shows, right, whether it's the Housewives or Blah Blah, I just see the big glass of wine.
Yeah.
So I'm just wondering.
You drink a lot.
So, you know, to be part of it. You know, without being able to drink, I wonder if that's just would be hard for you. So I guess not.
It's risk. You know what? You see me drink more in the last 3 years than I probably did in 43 years, or whenever I started, like since I'm 21. You see me in the first two seasons with a glass of wine. That was never me. But I guess when we were filming, having to work with all the girls and being half stoned on other things, I had a glass in my hand. But today, I mean, I never liked alcohol. Like, you know, it was never my thing. Like, smoking pot was never my thing. You know, cocaine when I was younger, absolutely. And then pills, like from 2006, was the issue. But I don't know. I don't count days anymore. I just do one day at a time.
That's part of it.
And if I felt like it, I'm going to do it because that's just me. I try to stick as close to the program as I possibly can, which is like one day at a time, like I said. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. If the occasion arose and I felt like it, I would.
I want to ask you just so we can. This is actually lightening up, but it's hard to even lighten it up on this show because it's so intense. But tell me about. I'm as a fan. I don't know how I feel about the departure of Love. I understand why it happened, but
I don't.
You don't. Well, I think she's crazy,
she's,
Renee.
She's crazy.
Thank God for Love because I look normal.
Yes, yes,
it's
yes, 100%. But
you
I
know
feel
what?
Like
now
she,
you know the difference between crazy and passionate.
Right.
Okay.
Yes. She's bona fide.
But I can see where she, you know, with Breaking Bonaducci. I don't know if you remember that show on VH1, but he was really crazy. And I know producers on that show that it was he got violent with them, or he was going to take his life, and he really was. They were down to, but when I think of her, and you know, I poisoned my boyfriend. I stabbed this one. I really see somebody like that's
she's angry.
Yes, And she'll act on it, though, Renee. I think we're all angry, but she'll act on it. And,
see,
you know?
I want to know what you thought, Renee. And this is where it gets real fun. Not fun, but like for fans watching this, I want to know what you thought about that last fight between Carla and Love, and you being there and seeing it and seeing what went down. Because when we're watching it, I mean, it's hard to see what's going on, and all you see is hair and things being pulled. And what was it like being there? Like, what are your thoughts on that whole fight?
Okay, originally, when it first started to happen, I was like, ha, 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 that's what she gets. Meaning, that's what Carla gets.
Carla.
All the nonsense. But, truth be told, it upset me terribly. Because I'm really not a violent person. I'm not a violent person.
I believe that. I believe that. I've watched you in the fights.
I would only raise my hands, like, if it has to do with my family. And as in season one, you saw what you don't see when her boyfriend, ex-boyfriend, whatever he is, put his hands on me inappropriately, it triggered other thoughts. So I kind of went completely out the window with that. So that's where that whole thing comes in. But what I thought was, can I curse?
Yes, of course. Yeah, well, that's why we love new media.
Oh,
we
can
do
curse all this time?
Whatever you want,
don't
babe.
Don't hold back,
not
Renee.
With us. You don't have to.
Give us the real
like,
you.
Holy fucking shit, this bitch is going to catch it. Jesus, I've been quiet the whole time with my cursing, see? And
bring
in
it
fight,
out.
People think that I'm not able to hold a conversation.
You made it 30 minutes. That's great. But
yeah, that's what I was actually thinking. I was thinking that hurt. Ooh, and then, if you notice, I was minding my own business. Mm-hmm. You don't even see me, first of all, for most of it. I was like way off. I felt horrible. Obviously, you see me feel horrible for Carla.
You're
cut
awesome.
Her own hand at that point. She threw a glass. I said, that's got to hurt to get hit or have your hair pulled by her. I know that it hurts having your hair pulled by me. you know, hence the fight Carla and I have had. So I can only imagine someone that's pulling a hair that has that much fury and rage and hate within themselves. I was like, oh, this poor, and I got to be honest, Carla's to the ground. I'm a little surprised. I'm thinking, oh, she's going down. Oh, this is going to hurt. Oh, my God. That's all you see it. You don't see it. But that's what I'm going through in the background.
And I'm surprised. You're right. And I think you're right. I'm surprised, too, because I thought Carla was the most fragile physically. And yet, you know what? There's all the bouncers there and security, right?
There were 20 bodyguards. But still, just to have your hair pulled like that. It doesn't tickle, you know. Carla pulled my hair. Trita pulled my hair. Like, I know what it feels like to get your hair pulled, and it doesn't tickle. And there is a point where you could probably fall, but I guess everybody almost felt like something was coming, so your adrenaline starts going. So I think you have that little bit of an edge, regardless how tough you are and how not tough you are, is because your adrenaline is pumping. And if you know you're having a conversation with a chick that swings and pulls hair first, your guard is up, regardless how many bodyguards are in the room. Trust me. You know, you feel a little brave, as she did in the beginning of season three when she was talking to me the way that she did. You feel a little extra brave, but your adrenaline's going at that time. But in all honesty, it had hurt. But again, I don't feel bad for somebody who made them.
Yeah,
there's a lot that you guys don't know, and a lot of things that were said, and she's seriously lucky all that it was a hair pulling.
With Carla?
To be honest.
With Love and Carla.
Me and Carla are good today. You know what I mean? We're okay.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that I want to know, too. Do you talk to the women? Like, outside of filming, are you legitimately close to any of the women?
I was always close to Karen from the beginning of the show till today. Ramona and I had a little bit of some sort of feelings when she first came in. See, I love Ramona, but I sort of felt some sort of way like relax. You just got here.
Okay, see, I'm so glad you said that. So, Renee, my opinion has been that Ramona was like, okay, I'm behind in this race. I've got to, whoever I am, I've got to amp up
Catch 10 times.
So I thought she was playing a little bit to camera. I thought maybe she had those feelings, but then she amped them up. I also feel like Carla was so mousy the first couple of seasons that I felt like she needed to make her mark. So she was way over the top opinionated. So can we speak to that, both those points, starting with Ramona? Do you feel as though with her cameras being on and the fact that she started a little later that, you know, maybe she worked a little harder and gave us a little bit more zest?
Well, absolutely. First of all, she came in on behalf of Karen when there was already drama between the other girls. So she came in on Karen's side. So of course you're going to be extra because you're protecting your family. And I'm sure I would have been the same way had I been in her position. But again, she's the latecomer. We've already established ourselves. So, and as you can see, the third person that came in, except for Angela, we just leave Angela out. She's just easygoing.
Yeah, she's awesome.
Came in with the same type of attitude. So I think that's for any new girl. Ramona has that, I don't know if chip on the shoulder is the right choice of words. But she's got that, like...
There's an attitude there,
yeah,
for sure.
I'm here, bitch. Relax. That's her. She's not the warmest person in the world. Trust me. When you're in the room with her, you know you're in the room with her. She really doesn't pay nobody. When she's on the, you know, on the phone, she doesn't give you really the time of day unless you're in her circle. So, yeah, she tried.
The wedding. What do you think about that whole wedding thing going on?
What do I think about it? Truth is, like I said, I support it. You want to get married, we get married.
Yeah, who cares? That's what I'm saying.
I consider it
a
we.
Yeah.
Honestly, me and Ramona have worked it. I love Ramona. I love Ramona all my life. I know Ramona all of my... I know these girls all of my life.
I love that.
So I love her. I just... When she came in, you girls that are in there, aside from me being on the show, I'm also Genevieve's sister, Genevieve's oldest sister. So I don't like anything or anybody that I'm not comfortable with something like that. If you said my sister had one gray hair, I'd be like, but bitch, you got 45 fucking gray hairs. Yeah. That's just
love
me.
Love that. That's yes, Paisan. I love it.
I love my family. So I felt some sort of way. Go ahead.
No, that's what I said. I'm glad that you said that because that's what I saw with them, that they were a little bit behind you guys, and so they were fighting harder so their star could shine. I mean, do you think with Carla, because she was so mousy that I almost thought that she would get dropped from the show after the first...
Okay, well, check this.
Tell me, yeah, please.
Give you the real story.
All right, give us
love
a story.
This.
Okay, so me and Carla had a fight off camera season 2, which not everybody knows about, but I had full press in my house that day. She said something leading up to the fact that maybe it was possible me and my son knew what my ex-husband was doing. Mm. I don't play that game. Oh. A rat is a fucking rat. I have no respect. I never partake in anything, especially when it comes to my father. First of all, anybody, but now you're including my father, and you're including a child. So now we have a war. So she said something slick in my house one day, and I hit her in front of the press. We had a fist fight. Okay. She went, her ex-husband, I'm not even going to blame Carla, because the truth is it was her ex-husband, Joe, who just came home and supposed to stay out of girls' business, that told her, they brought lawyers to the table. And whoever, if I raised my hands to Carla, I was getting fired, this, that, all the stuff.
Oh.
So going into season 3... She knew I couldn't hit her. Mm. She knew that there was no hand raising on my behalf. Because if I did, I'd lose everything that I worked for.
Wow.
One, she's not that important for me to ever take food out of my son's mouth.
Right.
One. Two, season 3 was going to be over. So you know what? I had to finish it. And if I felt some sort of way after season 3, I would have pulled the hair again. Because I don't punch. But...
Wow.
That's the truth behind why I sat there so patiently. First of all, I prayed to God before I got there. Really, I was praying for patience with everything I had in me. And I was also, at this point, I was already going to rehab. Mm-hmm. So I already had made a decision for myself. Okay, things have to change. So when I had gone to that lunch, I had to think of, okay, this is better for me, this isn't. It starts here. You make the change here. And it wasn't cameras. I could give a shit about cameras or anything else when it comes to that. But one, feeding my child is more important. So did I compromise myself over money? No, I didn't compromise myself. I just thought of what was right, wrong, smart, and stupid. And her sitting there calling me a junkie was pretty stupid considering I've never been one.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And anyone that has a drug addiction, first of all, growing up, that word junkie, and I'm not putting anybody in the category, that had to do with heroin.
Absolutely.
And that word.
Yep.
Okay, that was a really bad word. Bad, bad, bad word. It doesn't matter whether you pop pills, snort coke, or whatever. It's all the same difference. But that word junkie meant like sticking needles in your arm. And when we grew up, that was like in our family, like the worst thing in the world.
Right. It seemed excessive, Renee. And my thing is, was she doing that because she was trying to become a bigger star on the show? That's what I felt like. Because
yes.
It didn't feel like it was
because
in her.
Two words all the time.
Yeah, thank
She's
you.
It made her finally relevant.
Junkie?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so now going to Joe, I don't get him because Junior, I get it. Junior, I get it. I knew and know a lot of juniors. I get it. This guy, I always say, what do I call him?
He's the
fleet manager at Toyota of Long Beach. I mean, I don't see him as a thug. I see him as a, good looking, charming Italian guy.
His dad's a doctor,
too. He was a paper criminal.
His white collar crime. Gotcha.
They did stock fraud. Don't. I mean, listen, regardless, it's all the same. Not one crime is better than the other. It is what it is. I just don't care for him as a person anymore because I don't play bitch shit. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Mind your business, stay out of it. This has to do with girls. If we want to pull each other's hair, curse at each other, pull each other's hands, this is what we do. Mind your business as a man.
Talking about...
Hector might be a rat snitch bastard, but he never got involved when it came to the girls.
Well, talking about all these guys. So we have Junior, we have Joe, and we have Karen's guy we see periodically. What do these guys like the fame? They must. I mean, starting with Joe, he must love being on camera and now being recognized.
I'm gonna go with ding 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 ding.
Okay.
I think so. He liked. Okay, there weren't cameras when he was out years ago, but Joe was always like, they had to drink the Bentley, had to do this. That was just Joe. Very like Carla.
Flashy.
She's the same way. The way that they look. They like never have a hair out of place. Yeah, that's them. They think they're Hollywood. I like Carla's face, so let me not leave her alone.
So are you guys made up, you and Carla?
She said they did.
You guys are good?
Yeah, they're good. They're good. Let me talk. I want to know about the guys.
You want to know about the guys?
I want to hear more about the guys.
I like the girl drama.
Because, it just, honestly, I can't, to carry that is only going to hurt me and make me ugly.
Right.
So yeah. That's something I'm not. But, yeah, they're... And I'm not talking about them because I tell them everything to their face. I'm just telling you them that I know, not as me, but, I'm just filling you in on who they really are. Just like they might say shit about me. But anyway, yeah, so they would be like the Hollywood couple. You know what I mean? Like, they like that stuff.
I can see that. The thing is, why I just find the whole season two so captivating because... this real life experience going on of this courtroom drama. I mean, stuff that we would have made mainstream press without Mob Wives. It's just incredible what happened and what you endured. And I kept saying to myself, Junior, like, are you insane? I mean, you're now famous for, you're now the world famous snitch. Where do you go? How does he relocate? I guess, was it his ego? What was it that,
I'm going to say, well, first he was on a lot of drugs. And I'm not, wait. I'm not making an excuse for a half a man by any chance. And I speak the way I do, and you know what? That might come back to bite me in the ass. The day he comes home, he might come through that front door one day and find me and smack the shit out of me. But guess what? I don't care, because at the end of the day, I'm still going to say it. And I hope, God forbid, something should ever happen. Knock on wood, you guys play this part over and over. Half a man, half a man, half a man. Rap acid. Okay, I said it, but I'm over that right now. So anyway, I think what happened to Junior is he's a selfish son of a bitch. That's it. I think anybody that rats is a selfish...
I agree. Okay, that I see. But the fact that he was on camera, Renee, where's the witness?
Do you know... forget about the camera for a minute. Do you know I was in love with this man for years? He has cheated on me, had a baby with somebody else. Ugh. I'm a domestic violence survivor. I took this no-good son of a bitch back, and he gave me a Rolex with a wire. Then he asked when he left, and I said, let me hop this. The fucking Rolex wasn't even real. Do you know what I mean? I was, let me tell you, I was really mad.
Now that was the kicker. The Rolex
but you know what? It
real.
Is. Listen, I have to laugh because at the end of the day, I can't even believe I'm still standing.
Yeah.
After that one, that was rough. But hey, yeah, you know what? Mob Wives is going to be forever famous.
Absolutely. Oh my God. Totally.
That's going to go, listen, it plays in the prisons. I don't even know how he can get up and look at himself. I got to get up and look at myself and be like, oh, shit, I was so stoned in that episode. I wonder if anybody could tell.
Oh,
yeah, they can tell, Renee. Yeah, they can tell. Okay, so could you imagine to everybody in the world knowing you set your ex-wife and your child up? Because that's basically, he set us up. He only came back to me. You know what a blow to an ego that was? He came back only to set my dad up.
Yeah.
He didn't want to come back to me.
No,
he really didn't want to come back, but and I'll be honest, he didn't even have to use me that way. So shame on the government for using me in any way, shape, or form, because that really mentally, that took a toll.
Yeah.
But I look at it like I was never going to let him go. I could have stayed through whatever else he did to me. And, you know, sometimes the worst thing in the world, everybody knows me, I could never stay with a rat. I'd never be with a rat. So God had to remove him the only way he had. He had to make him a snitch. So what? Goodbye. Okay.
So
Dave, Karen, I like Dave. He's good.
He
did his time.
He does seem cool,
I don't have a problem with Dave. Mm-hmm. Did I just say I don't have a problem with somebody?
He's out of all the guys. Yeah, he seems like he's the most.
And Neil, we can't leave Neil out. I love Neil.
Neil's
cute.
Awesome.
He's so cute. I love him.
Yeah, we're team Big Ange. Yeah, we love Big Ange too.
So okay, I have a question. So Renee, you are so honest about everything. You're so honest, and you're just.
That's great, though.
I mean, it's a good thing because I have that same kind of personality. It can get you in trouble, and I know. But is there anything in looking back at all three seasons of Mob Wives, anything that you said or you did that you regret?
Said or did that I regret? Yeah, I regret not wearing makeup half the time because I look really bad. I regret that diet because I look like a linebacker. I have to talk. No, I can't. I can't live with. I mean, there's things that I cringe sometimes. I'm like, oh shit! But I have the luxury of fast forwarding my TV now, so I try to do it to myself. Of course, there's things we do and say that we regret, but I don't know.
I love that. I love that you're not apologizing and that you feel that way. It's very healthy.
Who you are.
And so Renee, in moving forward, would you say you're financially independent now because of the show? Finally, after all the years of say having a scratch.
Well,
and claw?
I say yes, but no one's going to take care of me.
You can take care of yourself, Renee.
But you got a lot of stuff going on, Renee.
I pay my taxes, and let me tell you, they are very high, these taxes.
Yeah. Come move to California.
Yes, I'm financially, don't get me wrong, I don't hold my own money. My sister has to hold it for me because I have bad spending habits. I'm on a budget.
Love
and
Jen.
I get an allowance every week.
Oh my gosh,
but
love
yes,
it.
I take care of myself and my son, and I even contribute and help my parents.
Nice.
That's
and
awesome.
I do as much charity as I can and give back. So, yes, I am, and I pay my own car payment. After all these years, my father told me I'm officially on my own. I have to pay for my own car.
And insurance.
So, it's cool. It's cool to take care of myself.
Well, I want
to
know a little bit about, because I'm a fashionista. I have a clothing line, and I want to know about your fabulous Mob candy shoes that I saw at the end of last season. Are you still doing that? Where is that available? I heard you guys have a makeup line and a jewelry line. Tell us about that.
Okay, so Mob candy shoes will be launching middle of July. Yes, we're still working on it.
Okay.
It kept getting pushed, like my jail mail in company got pushed back. Mob candy had to take a backseat to all the drama. But it will be launching in July. Today, my samples all just came in for all my T-shirts and my hoodies.
Oh my God,
it's so much fun.
I'm like, oh, I know.
And it's called, it's candy because it's, and my tag is, it's candy without the calories.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
I love
it. It's fun. It's young. It's mob because, and I don't mean it in a mafia term. I mean, it's mob. You know, like people belong to a mob. It's a group. And candy because I'm a girl and I love sweets and most girls are sweets and all that good stuff. So that's where it came from. And it's exciting.
It's a great
it's
name.
Jewelry,
yeah.
Shoes. There's a bunch of fun stuff. And it's all coming. My website and everything will be launching. Wow, this is really kind of crazy there. I think June 12th. And then the official kickoff party is July 12th, which is my birthday.
And where's the kickoff party?
Happy birthday.
In New York or LA?
New York, but I'm sure. No. I know we're going to do a California party.
Oh my God.
We're going to do Atlanta and California.
Oh my God, Renee.
I promise. I will most definitely invite you guys.
Please. Yes. And we want to get you down. And like I said, Maria Menounos would probably love to have you, and Mario Lopez would love to have you down the Grove, because I don't think we've seen any Mob Wives down there.
Yes, I have. I've been on a couple times with Mario.
Oh, okay. So, okay.
I've had some fun with him on, but I'll always come back.
Yeah. I could see him having fun
back.
With you. And yeah, so for next, when do you start taping for next season, Renee?
Middle of June.
Wow, middle of June, right back at
it. Yeah, like it hasn't been officially announced, but sometime in the middle of June.
Do we think there's going to be any new characters to replace Love? Any new crazies?
If you could replace them, anybody, that would be a character and a half to replace her. I'm not sure, even though my sister is the boss. She does not tell me, because I think I might have a little bit of a big mouth.
Right.
I'm excited. I'm hoping just maybe to meet somebody and date. I'd like to do that publicly next.
I said that. Didn't I say that early? Yeah, I said for two seasons. I said, please. And I told Ken Druckerman at Left Right, I said, can we get them on dates? And
yes.
I want them dating civilians. I want to see what one of the mob wives does on a date with a civilian. I'm dying to see that, Renee.
So do I.
Oh, my God. You've got to do that. Tell your sister. You got to do some dates.
I went on a blind date. It didn't air.
Oh.
I went on a date with a regular guy. The first question is, did you ever have a fight? Do you have a PSI report? Have you ever been locked up? His answer was no to everything. So that date, although he was nice, it ended very quickly.
Oh.
Because I needed somebody to protect me. But I would love to go out. With like regular, normal. I don't mean regular. I mean like normal people.
Yeah, civilian.
Out of my life. Yeah. Out of my life.
Not in the lifestyle. Yeah, we want to see that. And now, so will you be in touch with Love? Let's say texting each other, anything like that? Or is it completely radio silence?
Not at all.
Wow.
I wish her well wherever she goes, but no.
And are all the girls coming?
No, I have enough. I have enough for my past. I don't want nothing else.
Gotcha. Yeah, I can see it. I can see it. Mm-hmm. Who's tougher, Drita or Love?
I don't wish anybody bad. I just wish everybody go away.
Who's tougher in a fight, Drita or Love?
Who would win the fight?
Yeah, fist fight.
I don't know. Whoever put their ego down first.
So it would be a good fight, in other words. Yeah, it'd be
They fight with egos. If their egos could have a fight,
forget it, right?
That'd be a never-ending fight. A never-ending fight. Drita's really tough.
She seems tough.
Yeah, she seems tough.
But Love, I don't know. That's but Love is.
No, Drita definitely calmed down. I would say if I had to vote, I would say Love.
Yeah, but Renee's the authority. Renee, really, you can't make the call. Who's tougher? We have to bet. It's 15 rounds.
I don't know. We and all can honestly, we can all get so angry, but physically, I'm not sure. Ego wise, it would be to the death. I don't know. I think their egos would never be able. Nobody would ever win.
So you're saying they've got big egos.
So Drita has a big ego too.
You think I'm saying that?
Wow. So I didn't know. So Drita.
No, I'm outright saying it.
Drita to me definitely comes off as she's got a very short wick, but it's almost like she doesn't even know it. It seems like after the fact, she's like, okay, what did I just do?
Drita's been getting really good. She's been controlling it a lot better. But I also know that if it was about a family member or something, I wouldn't wanna fuck with Drita. Drita's got that. We all have that crazy fuse, but Love is just always angry. There's a difference. You know what I mean? I think that there's always, in my opinion, what I see is some sort of ugly person behind her. Like there's something else going on inside of her head. She doesn't make me fun and make you laugh. She's a great one liner, but there's something unhappy behind her. So I think it's a different type of fight. Trita, on the other hand, it'd be more of like defend yourself, love my family. It's different anger, so maybe love. Okay, maybe love.
Maybe we'll love.
Take that one.
That's kind of what I thought too. So okay, now last question: who's the best cook out of all you guys? Because I love this. You and Big Ange put out the best spreads. Carla looks pretty good too, but when I see your food go out, I go, "Oh, I'm dying! I want to eat so bad." Who's the best cook?
That would be now I have a cookbook coming in 24.
Well, you guys are clearly great.
To say that it was Big Ange. That was screw me. I think we're both excellent cooks. I think I cook how I feel. Like Big Ange's cooking is different than mine. She does it the same. Mine is if I'm a little spicy that day, your meatballs might be a little spicy.
There's
a difference, but I think we're excellent cooks.
You guys are. I can see it. I salivate every time guys are cooking.
You're doing a cookbook, Renee. You're doing everything. That's
I love
amazing.
That.
I did shot the cover for it.
Oh
I Instagrammed the picture too. I did it with my two sisters. It's a family thing.
Aww.
I have an older sister that hasn't been on the show. So we combined everything that we've had from my father, my grandmother, my mom, and it's a joint project. It's different. It's not me on my own. I wouldn't do this on my own because it is a family cookbook. So, and I'm allowed to say it's February 2014 because that's what I Instagrammed. I have to get permission for everything now.
That's all right.
I'm very excited.
Aww.
I'm very excited.
I love it. And you made our, I think you've made my year just by finally coming on the show. Yeah. And I'm just excited that you're moving forward. But as a fan, I need you to keep giving me the drama and the crazy. So let's not get too normal for me, Renee.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I still need
please,
the, you know.
Really? Do you expect me to get normal anytime soon?
No problem.
I want to see dating.
But honestly, I need like four therapists right about now. Yeah, I just blew that next date too, didn't I?
No.
I'm going to always be me. So.
Yes. I want to see you out and dating. That's what I want to see.
Next season. I'm so excited. So, Renee, please let's stay in touch with us.
Yes.
Always feel free to call in. And we'll see you hopefully at your launch.
Yeah.
And
we
then,
want to go there.
And we'll
absolutely will.
And
that'd
meet
be
you
fantastic.
Down at the Grove. Thank you. And give a kiss to Jen, too, because I also admire her so much for doing this and having this vision. It's really amazing.
Well, congratulations on your venture. It was an absolute pleasure, Erica. I am very excited, and I will, when I'm in California, we'll do dinner at my Uncle Frankie's restaurant.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. That would be amazing. We would love that, Renee. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Renee.
Have a blessed day.
All right.
Bye-bye,
thanks.
Sweetie.
You too. Bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. So that's it. That's her show.
Oh, my God. Wasn't that amazing?
I love her.
She's amazing,
her.
Right?
She's so awesome.
Like, what a spirit. Just indefatigable.
I love that.
I mean, really.
She's so strong.
And honest.
And
fearless.
Everything she's been through and how open and honest she is and how that's all been filmed. Like, when you think about it and she starts talking about it, everything that happened with her and Junior, everything that happened with
her father.
With her father. Everything
and
that happened
break-ins.
With her, not just that, but her recovery.
Her addiction, her recovery.
Just recovery alone to have on camera is enough, let alone everything else that she's done.
And the normal son.
I love AJ.
And AJ is amazing.
I forgot. We wanted to hook AJ up with Roxy. Roxy had a huge crush on him.
Yeah, they would be great together.
Okay, when she comes out of LA.
Yeah, you know what? And I would love, I wonder at what point they'll let AJ be interviewed.
I don't know.
Because he'd be great too.
He's good.
But you know, it was interesting because she said Drita has a big ego.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the end of the interview. So I wanted to follow up on that.
I kind of want to get back into that
too. Do you feel with Drita, do you feel that way too? I mean, they all have big egos, I guess. We all do to be successful. But I wouldn't have guessed that. So that's interesting.
Not out of all the women, I would say no. Because I would, like, she talked about Ramona. And
right.
I thought for sure Ramona.
Totally, right. I would think
Carla
Ramona
too. You know, but with Drita seemed like, cooler than that in some ways.
So like, there's something definitely more to it that we didn't know.
Oh,
so it just gives us more to hang
more
on to.
Yeah, talk
Erica,
to.
Thanks for letting me sit in on
this. Yes, this is so much
fun. My make-a-wish.
I know. All right, guys. And if you like this, go on iTunes, rate us. This is what we do here at AfterBuzz. We try and bring you your favorite stars, your favorite reality show.
But go to the Mob Wives fan page. Give a rating. Give your comments, please, because this was really hard. I know you worked really hard on this interview, Erica, to get this and make it happen. So I don't know. Send us some love back, fans, please.
All right, guys. Well, thanks so much. I'm your host, Erica Vieira.
Erica, where do we find you?
You can find me on Twitter
at
Erica Vieira LA. That's E-R-I-K-A-V-I-E-I-R-A-L-A.
And with her kick-ass clothes she makes, which are just
with Rally Babe, a clothing line,
which you get a lot of compliments for. All right, we're out of here.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Bye.
From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.